I don't want you healed in your body and messed all up in your heart. So I'm in this healing service and I'm preaching, man. I'm preaching the stuff you heard me preaching all weekend. And this man stands up in the back. And he's just standing there while I'm preaching. And I said, hey, buddy, do you have a question? What's going on? You're just standing. Are you okay? I didn't know if his back was hurting. I didn't know if he was stretching. But it looked like he had intention. He said, yes, sir. He said, were you in an accident several months ago? And so I said, yeah, I was. He said, I didn't expect you to recognize me out of uniform, but I was the officer that was on the scene. I said, oh my goodness, yeah. He said, he turned and did a live commercial. He said, guys, I just want to tell you everything this man is saying is true. I saw this man where the rubber met the road. I'm an officer. I've been to 1,000+ accidents in my officer career. And he said, I have never seen any expression or any demonstration. He wasn't boasting to me. He was overwhelmed. He said, I've never seen an expression like I've seen in this man at the accident in my life. It was overwhelming. And I have not been able to get this man out of my mind. He said, now here's the truth about me. Watch this. You never know what's really going on. He said, this is my first time walking through the door of a church. He said, when I was 8 years old, I was touched wrong by a Christian. And I vowed in my heart to never be a Christian and never be around Christianity. And I'm 40 years old and I have never been to church. When I met this man at the accident, after it was over, I couldn't stop thinking about him, his attitude, his disposition, and his love. And I said, you know, I was young. I was 8. Maybe I vowed premature. Maybe I judged something that's not. Maybe I just saw the real and the true. And he said, for 3 months, I haven't been able to get this man out of my mind. And he said, I just came down with a diagnosis of a sickness. And my friend said, hey, there's a marquee sign down the road at the church that says a healing service. I know you aren't into churches and Christianity, but you got nothing to lose, man. Let's go down and see what it's like. We'll sit in the back. If it's weird, we'll leave. That's what he said. He said, before the accident and the experience with this man, I would have laughed him out of my car for suggesting it. But when he said it, I didn't even think about it. I said, let's go. He said, and then I walked in the door and looked up, and my goodness, it's the very man preaching the service. Guys, you can't make that up. That sure beats being frustrated at the accident. That sure beats kicking the grass and looking at your car and forgetting there's people, and then going to try to tell them it's okay when you already showed them it's not. They don't need me to go to church to put more bricks on them. I'm anointed to get bricks off of them. She was 65. It was her second total loss accident in a week. The car she hit me with wasn't hers. It was her daughter's because hers demolished. You don't know this stuff, but you're inconvenienced and you manifest your flesh and sing Holy is the Lamb on Sunday. It won't change the world. They don't need you doing that, man. They need you running over to the car before they even know you're the driver because you're out of your car in a flash and you're praying for everyone and the teenager crying in the back. You're holding her like she's your daughter. And you go around to the driver and it's a true story. I said, honey, I must pray for you. I want to lay hands on the back of your neck and just pray that you never have an experience, a repercussion, or pain from this impact. It's very important. Jesus loves you, honey. And she's just staring out the window. And I said, honey, I want to pray for you, please. And she said, oh, no. It's a brand new truck. I hit a brand new truck. And I said, honey, it's a truck. Come on. It's okay. You're what matters. Let me pray for you. She looked at me and said, you don't understand. That is a brand new truck. I'm talking mad at me. And I'm like, I wonder what I'm missing. You don't understand. I said, honey, it's a truck. She said, it's a brand new truck. And I'm like, okay. She said, that driver is going to be so mad at me. And I tipped her little chin and said, honey, I am the driver. And you know what she did? She went, oh, God bless you, and fell on me crying as I rocked her. Why? Because of the pressure, responsibility, liability, insurance, rate hikes, dumb me, bad me, poor me, woe is me. I am not anointed to put pressure on her. I'm anointed to get it off of her. I'm not anointed to value my truck above her soul. Spirit of God is in me. She doesn't need Mr. Christian to go to church and then be mad at her for inconveniencing my life and then me being mad at God for letting it happen. But where's your grace in my life, Lord? I thought you were my rear guard. Stop it. Stop boasting in your ignorance of Him. Whew. I told you I wasn't a chicken. I know if it comes in me, I'm saying it not to hurt you, to help you. You want that police officer snatched out of deception and you don't even know what's going on. Did you understand that all these testimonies I've shared with you this weekend had nothing to do with me intentionally ministering? It had to do with me just living my life. And God does stuff that way. And people get touched and you don't even know they're getting touched. I don't carry a cell phone. I just don't want one. It's too much. It's too much excessive communication. I wouldn't even be able to give myself to you guys. My phone would be buzzing constantly because I have hundreds of relationships. And just because of who I am, if people could call me, they would. Just to tell me this, pray for this, be aware of that. It would never end. Nonstop. Text, pictures, nonstop. I know, I watch everybody. I don't want one. It would distract me from what I'm doing. I don't need one. I don't want one. It's excessive. Most of it is just pictures of your food and a picture of the horizon because I'm driving by and you're driving 65 texting. It's a problem. It's a problem when you're so mesmerized and gripped and you have to no matter what. That's excessive. Nobody will admit it hardly. When you can't live without it, you better be concerned that it's become a problem. Come on. It says all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable and don't come under the power of any. If you can't live without it, it's become a problem. Well, it's just good communication. No, it's chit-chat usually, and it's not even the ability to look in somebody's eyes. You're just writing. Sometimes you lose the ability to even be real. You say, well, I got 500 friends. No, you got 500 contacts that you chatted with at some point. You don't even know them. And now you feel important. It's weird. Just be careful. People are killing themselves because they have to check their phone. People are killing themselves because they have to write back. And nothing's too important that it can't wait till you park. It's a problem. You're in the airport and nobody even knows you're around. You walk into people because you can't look up. I watch it every day of my life traveling. And I'm like, something's wrong when we're all mesmerized. Don't tell me it's a blessing anymore. We've crossed a line. It is a blessing. Technology is amazing. But it crosses a line when it costs you that much. When it becomes you and your identity. I'm sorry I'm on a tangent with it. It bothers me a lot for people. Because we live in denial and we make light of it when it's a real problem. When you can't turn it off and break away and be with Him, it's a false sense of busyness, false sense of identity. And it's a false sense of connectivity most of the time. It makes you feel busy and occupied and fulfilled. And when you really think about what you're accomplishing, you might be existing in passing time. Well, I preach on it. Stop. You're called to go love people. Stop. Just stop. You're talking to the wrong person. I'm not going to debate with you on it. You're twisting language. Well, I preach to people on it. Stop. God is not limited to that. Go love somebody. Go walk out and look somebody in the eyeballs. You don't even know who you're talking to most of the time. You might be talking to an atheist and they're sitting drinking beer laughing at your gullibility. Because they're saying what you need them to, and you're preaching to them and praying for them and saying, I'm crying right now because God is moving in your life. And they're going, look at this jerk. They think they're talking to somebody getting saved, and they're drinking beer and smoking a joint, just abusing you. You have no idea what's actually going on out there. That stuff happens. You think you're talking to a 50-year-old and you're talking to a 13-year-old. God did not tell you to camp there and minister there. Told you to as you go, not as you text. Look, don't hear me wrong. I'm not against it. It's a major blessing. Technology is incredible. Let's make sure we have the wisdom to steward the blessing and not let it become something it's not called to be. That's all I'm saying. Now you're the decider of that. You're the steward of that. And you know if it's crossed a line in your conscience. You know. You know if it's become a stronghold. I had a man that was a drug addict and God set him free. And then God said, hey, I'm not against you drinking coffee. I could care less if you drink coffee. I am not a legalist. But if God says you're drinking coffee as a drug, you ought to listen. And if you can't not drink coffee because you can't function or you get a violent headache, then you've crossed a line and you probably ought to try to get a grip on that. And stop just saying you like it. It's just stuff I'm talking about. I don't know how I got here. But these are the little foxes that spoil the precious fruit of the vine. Because you can't tell me your conscience is free and you can live clear. If you're dependent on those things, you're not as free as you're singing. I don't mind you enjoying a cup of coffee over a sunrise. But if you can't not drink it and your head beats and pounds and you can't function and you're using it as a drug, then you probably ought to admit that and cry out to God and ask for grace and get a grip on that. Honestly, I could care less if you sip a glass of wine when you're drinking your spaghetti because you think it's cool and it's an Italian thing and you grew up that way and you like it. I will not judge you for it. But make sure that you don't drink it because you can't go to sleep at night without your glass. That's when you've crossed the line. I don't know how I got on this. Help me. I don't even know what I'm doing. What am I doing? I'm trying to read Colossians. I know what I'm doing. We're putting away the flesh. No, I'm just being real. And you know I'm not mad at you. I'm not judging you. Come on, guys. I don't not have technology because I'm against it. I'm personally not into it. I see people on the planes playing games on their phones. It would bore me. I'd last 2 minutes playing Pac-Man. I'd last 2 minutes. It's not me. I'm not saying it's wrong. If it's you, have fun with it and eat up all them little dots. When I was growing up, that Donkey Kong thing was out. And when I was a kid, and everybody's consumed by it. I could care less about Donkey Kong. I didn't have to grab the bananas floating and all the stuff. I just wasn't into it. I'd rather go take a walk in the woods. I'd rather go lift a rock and see what was under it. It's just me. I'd rather go walk in the water and get my feet wet. Kick under the bank and mess around. That's just me. I'm not against technology. I'm just not into it, okay? And I'm not against you being into it. Just know where to draw the line. Because if we can't talk about this stuff as a family without getting touchy and without defending and all that stuff, then we probably got to ask why. I got friends that admit they text and drive, and it grieves me horribly. I say, why do you do it, and yet in front of your children? What are you doing? And then you're going to try to correct them, discipline them, and teach them the gospel when you're showing them you really don't care about laws and truth and justice? I talk to my friends like that. And in willfulness, they still text and drive. It's not cool. And then you wonder where your anointing is. You wonder why God isn't moving when you're speaking. Maybe you're not co-laboring with Him. Come on. It's not works. It's just honor. It's just character. It's integrity. You're going to text in front of your children and then tell them they're not supposed to do something. And then your child says, well, mommy, you text and drive. You're not supposed to. Don't you talk to me like that. I'm your mother.
Well, no, somebody ought to talk to you because you're not listening to God. You're not listening to your own conscience. You've seared that thing too. So maybe your child ought to say something. Maybe they're not out of order.
Yeah. Whoa.
Now, kids, don't take advantage of what I just said. Now, you yourselves are to put off these things. Don't lie to one another. Why? Why wouldn't we lie to one another? Because we've put off the old man and his deeds. Hey, I thought I prayed a prayer to go to heaven. I signed up for everlasting life. Sorry somebody preached that gospel to you. What you signed up for was new life. The life you were intended from the beginning. What you signed up for was born again. And that's not heaven someday. That's heaven in you now. So you ought to rejoice. That's not fine print that scammed you. That's good news that frees you. Yeah. We put off the old man and what? His deeds. And we've put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of, excuse me, him. That was Rudy's, man. I was like, it was good, girl. Still working. And put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge, what? According to the image of who? Him who created him. See, it's all about his image. The Bible says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Romans 8, predestined to be conformed to his. He's the firstborn among. As he is, so are. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. How many scriptures do we need? Wow. It says, out of the mouths of two or more, every word's confirmed and established. We can give you 6, 7, 8, 10 if you want them. Look at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Okay? So for four verses, we've been putting off. And then he says, put on the new man, renewed in knowledge. Now in verse 12, he's going to show you who that new man is and what that knowledge of his image is. So in prayer, you're putting off the works of the flesh and the dictates, and in your own conscience, sincerely, you're praying to God, not desiring to be the person you ever lived to be before. It's that song we were singing today. Come on, we got to put understanding to those lyrics. I give myself to you, or away, whatever one you want to say, right? You got to know what you're singing, or that becomes religious. It just feels good in the moment. What are you saying? I'm giving everything that I believe myself to be over to you to become everything you've intended me to be. He's putting definition to it in this chapter. You're putting off the flesh, you're putting on the Spirit. Now watch this. You're putting on what? Tender mercies. What else are you putting on? Kindness. He didn't say you're putting on frustrations, judgments, indifference, intolerance. Come on. You're putting on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Long-suffering. Wow. I bet that's God. Bearing with one another. Whoa. Why? Because he knows we're not always going to agree. And sometimes people do things that tempt to rub you the wrong way. And instead of you saying, wow, they get under my skin, you rejoice because you got new skin. Wow, they get on my nerves. No, you got new nerves. Come on. Whoa. See, we're always waiting them to change and align to us. Why don't we change and align to him and we'll see them different? And what used to bother you won't even bother you anymore. Instead of being bothered, you'll have compassion. Instead of being mad, you'll show mercy. Instead of praying from the place of pain, you'll pray from the place of love. And heaven will hear you and Holy Ghost will move.
That's a good thing.
Long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving. I know I'm getting late, guys. Forgive me. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. If you got to leave, leave. I'm trying. I'm just telling you, I'm trying. It's just like my heart's just... I never hear the control tower say, bring it in, Dan. Ever. People say, brother, you need to know how to land. I know how to fly. I know how to take off and fly. I don't know how to land. I just know how to stop eventually. But I don't land. I've never heard the control stuff. I see the airport. I see the runway. I see how we could bring it in. And I just keep bringing up. It stuff bombards me. You're not in my shoes. It's just I can't help. So I just keep circling. You say, aren't you going to run out of gas? Not a chance. Not even a remote chance. I will be flying for the rest of my life. You don't understand. I was in a radical group in California, and I tried to stop on the fifth night. 5 nights they couldn't get enough. I preached for 5 days. And on the last night, I said, listen, I need to wind up. I got to stop, man. We've preached all week. I want to get you out of here in a good time. I got a flight at 4 a.m. I got to get up. And it was already late. And I said, so I'm going to wrap it up. And in unison, like college, high school kids, they were off the hook. These guys were off the hook. Guess what they did? They got in this thing and they started going, preach, 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 preach. There was 250 people. Preach, preach, preach. And I said, hey, guys, I don't need that much persuasion. And then I said I was going to wind down. Preach, preach, preach. So I preached for like 3.5 hours or something. And they didn't even want me to stop. Pastor's brother, completely healed of hepatitis. 3 clinics later, they just said, we don't know what to do with you. You don't even have markers. You don't have antibodies. You don't have nothing that shows you ever even had it. You're an enigma to us. We're just going to just release you. And they said, the 3rd clinic said, Bill, it's like you never even had hepatitis. Why? Because through the blood, he sees Bill as if he's never sinned. So if the blood of Jesus forgave the act of sin, then the body of Jesus took the penalty incurred. And if old things pass away and all things become new, then what's that hepatitis doing sitting there? If God will never judge Bill for where he's been, then why is where he's been judging him? Time to get out of his blood in Jesus' name. Yeah, I've seen that enough, believe me. I've seen scars disappear from young ladies who were trapped in seasons of cutting. I was in your state when 20 scars, 3 inches long, came off the thighs of a young lady. 1/4 inch raised, kiddo. Right down her 1 God-given legs. Don't be offended. From here to her knees, spaced out 10 times on each thigh. Purple and raised 1/4 inch from one blade after the other over the same line. Precious little thing like you who came to the knowledge of truth and wished that she never lived apart from him. And God said, okay, I'll make it like you did. And he gave her brand new. I was in 2 services where former addicts were so marked that they wouldn't wear long short sleeves in 85, 90 degrees because they were tired of explaining their marred flesh. And Jesus gave them brand new skin. We've brought countless girls out of the waters of baptism screaming and realizing everything was gone. Uncurable STDs, countless, taken out of people's bloods because if they could go back and change where they've been, they would, but they can't. So God makes it as if they were never there. Because if they could go back and do it different, they would. So they'll never be judged for where they've been. They'll be judged for what they've become. And if any man or woman be in Christ, come on, this isn't just amen drum scriptures on Sunday. It's the power of God. If any man be in Christ, new creation. Old things, behold. I just saw a lady recently who was so covered with genital warts that the doctor said there was never a case like it in their history. They didn't ever seen anything like it. Profusely, grossly covered, 24/7 vaginal warts on top of each other, practically the way she described. 24/7 for 17 years, never backed off, never went away, never resurfaced, just sat there and looked at her for 17 years. They said they've never seen anything like it. So guess what she did? Wanted to be married and have children and never had another relationship from 17 to 34. Why? Because she didn't want to bring a man into her demise and make him have to jump some hurdle and enter into the grossness of what she appeared to be. So she just never had another relationship in her life and suffered the consequence of her sin. You say, well, brother, you got to reap what you sow. Oh, stop being religious. You reap what he sowed. And he sowed brand new life for you. So repent and be changed. Come on, man. Well, brother, she should have known better. Stop. Then hold yourself to that in everything you've ever done. Well, I got better gospel than that for you. I preached what I just told you in the last 5 minutes, and she came up front, and I didn't know what was her problem. I told her it was none of my business to anybody. I didn't need to know. It's my business. You go free. Prayed for her. She cried. She went home. 17 years into this thing. 34. 17. Gets to the door. She's unlocking the door, and the Spirit of God comes upon her. And he says, honey, don't be afraid to look at what I've done in your body. She ran in the house and investigated and inspected herself and cried uncontrollably, not one single wart on her body. She went to bed bawling, woke up in the morning, ran to the restroom, checked herself out thoroughly, not one single wart on her body. Why? She's not that girl anymore. If she knew what she knew now, she wouldn't have been where she went. And she can't change what she did. But he can change her.
Oh, that's such good preaching.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're going to put on loving kindness, tender mercies. We're going to bear with one another. We're going to forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, guess what we're going to do? We're going to forgive. But above all these things, guess what we're going to put on? We're going to put on love. Why? It's the bond of perfection. Be there perfect. It's Matthew 5:48. Be there perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, brother, nobody's perfect. Listen to what he's saying. Put on love. It's the bond of... What's he saying? Become like your Father. Like Father, like Son. Don't confess sonship. Be one. Yeah?
Yeah.
How are you going to do it? Prayer, communion, intimacy. You're going to put off, you're going to put on. You know what I have to do right now because of what I just said 5 minutes ago? I got to pray for everybody in the room that fit the description I just described. I can't get away from it. I was just telling you some stories and excited about the gospel. We need to pray for redemption in this house. And I want to pray for you personally because I get fired up on this topic. It's not a charismatic show because I could care less what you feel or what God does when I pray for you, except that He take that thing away because it's not your mark to earn. You say, well, brother, God leaves that stuff in people's lives to humble them so they stop. What would affect you more, him leaving it there as a humble reminder or taking it away when you know you earned it? What would wreck you more? God leaving the HPV virus there to teach you a lesson or taking it away when you know you earned it? I was up north and a lady my age ran up to the altar and was crying for prayer. And I came to her and she looked me in the eyes. It's the most moving thing. She said, I'm not that kind of girl. I'm not that kind of girl. I'm not that kind of girl. And I'm like, duh, stop. I get it. I know. I said, come on, we need to pray. She said, no, you don't understand. She grabbed my arm. I said, honey, I don't need to know nothing. Don't even tell me. We're just praying. She said, no, I need to tell you. And I'm like, if you've got to. She said, I'm X age, I'm this age, married 30 years to the same man, and he's the only man I've ever known intimately. And I just thought that was amazing and awesome. She said, but a little while ago, he left me. And she started trembling and crying. And he ran away with some younger girl. My man of 30 years, it's the only man I've ever been with. And he just took off with a young girl. She said, I began to get so vulnerable and I began to cry and I began to feel like I wasn't a woman anymore. And I began to feel this midlife crazy stuff and I began to think I wasn't attractive and I began to think that I couldn't hold my husband's attention. That I was good for a while, but I'm not good anymore. And she said, and then this man came along and said things that I needed to hear. And she said, and I slept with him. She's bawling. And I said, well, she said, when I slept with him, I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't the answer. She said, I was horrified. I was so grieved. I was like, I've never slept with a man in my life but my husband. And now short time, I'm in the bed with a man I really don't know. Because I'm vulnerable, because I'm hurt. She's got me so involved now. Sure, you have no idea. I mean, I'm like, and I can't rev up God, but he can rev me up. And I said, you look at me, girl, right in the eyes. And she kind of looked and looked away. I said, no, no, no. You look me in the eyes and give me your hands. She said, okay. I said, no, look at me. I said, that's coming out of you. Do you hear me? I said, look at me. I was so aggressive. It's probably scary. I get that way sometimes, but this was extreme. She captured my heart. And I said, I'm telling you, that's coming out of you and there ain't nothing nobody can do about it. Do you hear me? She said, okay. And I said, get out of her. In Jesus' name. No thunder, no lightning. Just authority and the revelation of his love and redemption. And I left their hands go and just went to the next people. I went back to that church 6 weeks later because they were transitioning pastor internship, asking me to come and fill gaps. I go into the church and here she comes. She's just running. Looked like somebody jammed a light bulb up through her chin into her head. It was beautiful. She came up and she said, Pastor. And I'm not making fun of her. She was just blessed. And I said, hey, what's up, girl? She said, guess what? I said, what? She said, they tested me three times. Three times, Pastor. And it's not there. It's not there. And I didn't even flinch. And I wasn't being disrespectful. God was teaching. I said, of course it isn't. Honey, of course it isn't. Do you know why?
She said, yes, because God is merciful and he's so loving and he's so kind.
And I said, well, you're right about all that. That wasn't the answer I was looking for. She looked at me like that's the only answer. I said, see, you got to understand that everything we worship him to be needs a place to land. God's merciful, but you better know how to receive his mercy. There's a difference between me saying God loves you and you being loved by God. Yes. You can say he's the God of all grace, but do you receive it? Yes. And is it working in your life? I said to her, do you know why it's not there? She said, yeah, because God is. And she honored him. Her answer was right. And I said, that's not the answer I was looking for, honey. Let me tell you why it's not there. I tipped her little chin and I said, because you're not that kind of girl. And she went, whoo! Good pastor. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I love redemption. I love that kind of stuff. I've seen three people that tried to commit suicide and lacerated their bodies and every scar left them in the service. Not one trace of a knife blade in their skin. Pretty cool, isn't it? Countless STDs, countless hepatitis C. Vanquished. Two people in my hometown, HIV. One full-blown AIDS. 106 pounds. 3 months later, she's 153. Two people on liver transplant list, completely healed and restored with no transplant. Now, I'm either making that up and I'm an evil man, or I'm seeing God move in people's lives. You say, well, brother, I need qualification, verification, and documentation. You got the word of God. Stop boasting in your unbelief. They're real people. They're real people. The livers is Ron and Jan. HIV is Rose and Kay. They're real people. You say, well, I don't believe it. I understand unbelief's a problem in the body of Christ. I get it. But it doesn't mean he isn't Lord. So you can revel and boast in your unbelief if you choose. And need all your documentation if you need to. But I sure wouldn't be proud of that. Because I've learned something in my short Christian life. When there's unbelief, there's no explanation good enough. When there's faith, there's none necessary. And the just shall live by. Why boast in something you're not created for? Because it's impossible to please Him without faith. Listen to me. If you've hurt yourself, if you've marked your life, if there's something in your blood, your body, your mind, if you damage, if you just got mad and went out on a binge and went beyond where you've ever been and you haven't been able to concentrate since that day, God will give that back to you tonight. Because when you come up here, what you're saying is, man, I wish I didn't do that and this isn't who I am. It's not my created value. And I know you'll be merciful to me. And I'm telling you, He'll give back your memory, your concentration. He'll clean your blood. He'll do good things. Now, I wouldn't be going this far if there wasn't people in the room that knew what I was talking about. You could be 35 and when you were 16, you made a mistake and that thing's marked you and carried you all the way through. You've been hurdling it in your marriage. It might even come into your marriage. And you wish you'd never did what you did when you were 16, but you can't change that. That's way water over the dam. But I tell you what can change. Your belief, how you see yourself, and how He sees you. And you could say, bad, if I could go back and retract my steps, I would walk different. And you know what God will do? He'll never judge you for where you've been. He'll judge you for what you've become. And the blood of Jesus will speak better things. And the mercy of God will triumph over judgment. And love will cover a multitude of sin. And new life will come through the one, Jesus Christ. Yay? Yeah. The lady with full-blown AIDS was dying and never told anyone, was ashamed. Why? She was a church lady, turned 50, and started sleeping with men to feel like a woman. As a church lady. Got caught into some psychological midlife weird crisis. Weirdness. Makes sense to the world in psychology. It doesn't make sense to the kingdom. You're in Christ. You're not 50. You're in Christ. You got nothing to prove. You got something to be. You got nothing to measure up to. You've got something to manifest. You're not pressured by your age. You're pressured by your lack of faith in Him. Don't put that pressure on yourself. It's not needed. So she slept with men as a Christian. And that snake bit her quick, man. And her sin found her out and that thing caught her. Marked her with AIDS. Her friends were like, you're so thin. You're sick. What's wrong with you? Why are you losing so much weight? She said, thin is good. She was dying and she was scared and she was ashamed, Pastor. She didn't even tell her best friend what was going on. Because she didn't want nobody to know the church girl was sleeping with men to try to hold on to her womanhood. That was a twisted view. She came to a healing service undercover trying to get healed without anybody knowing what was going on. I'm coming down the line praying in my home church and she's standing right here in this aisle. It's laid out just like this, just a bigger sanctuary. I get to her and I said, honey, what's in your blood? And she went. I said, honey, what's going on? It's in your blood. What is it? Diabetes. And I pray, I'm telling you, she didn't have diabetes, but I don't think she's ever going to get it. Because I don't like diabetes, man. And man, did I pray. I thought, we run that thing off for life. But God didn't show me that she wasn't being honest. And God didn't tell me. He let me go for it with all my sincerity and heart. And you know what it did to her? Convicted her. Because she knew she was lying. And with all my heart, I prayed for diabetes to leave her body and never come back. And she knew I discerned something in her blood. So she knew it was God. But she knew she lied. So she did a Sarah. I didn't laugh. Do you know Sarah's in the Patriarch of Faith list? Do you know by faith she conceived? Received strength to conceive by faith? That's her testimony in heaven. But in Genesis she laughed and lied in the same day to God. And heaven remembers her through mercy and repentance as a woman who by faith received strength to conceive. Do you know Romans says that Abraham wasn't wavering and didn't move and in hope against hope believed and didn't waver at the promise and believed him faithful to perform what he said? But in Genesis, he slept with Hagar and worked in his flesh and tried to answer God's promise and wavered big time. That's not his testimony. The mercy of God changes things. Somewhere along the line, he said, oops. And God changed his testimony because God changed his heart. And he won't answer for wavering. He'll answer for never wavering. Even though in the natural he wavered. And God will see him as if he never wavered. Because he regrouped and set his heart on God. Sarah is in the Patriarch of Faith. And it was her idea for Abraham to sleep with the maidservant. I bet he didn't say, well, let me go pray about it.
Really? You want me to sleep with Hagar? I've been eyeing her up anyway. You ain't going to mind?
No, I think it's the way God will fulfill. Yeah,
I'm on to it, girl. You are so wise. Hagar! Come on!
I don't think he prayed about it.
Well, let me fast for a week and see what I hear. No, honey, you're hearing the Lord.
Two days later, this lady walked in my office trembling. Never saw her in my life. The healing service was the first time. Two days later, walked in my office trembling. I saw her through my window and I looked at the administrator. I said, send her back. It's okay. She said, just go back. She came through the door trembling. I said, hey, honey. She said, I was here Tuesday. I said, I know the healing service. We prayed. Diabetes. She's a precious black lady from the city. Very charismatic. She said, I lied to the man of God. I lied to the man of God. I lied to the man of God.
That's what she did. I acted her out pretty good. I promise you, that was really what she did. She was on it. I lied to the man of God.
And I'm like, why did you lie? What do you mean? She said, you're a man of God. I said, yeah.
I'm guilty. It's his fault. I just receive it.
But I'm not weird if somebody says I'm a man of God. I'm not like, well, no, you're right. You're on to me. It's not a proud statement. He's in me. I'm not going to deny it. He loves me. He saved me. He made me a man of God. And I let him. She said, you knew something was in my blood. You knew it. I said, yeah, and you took diabetes. It ain't diabetes. I lied. Why would you lie? I was the first person she told that she had AIDS. She came to me confidentially as a pastor. I said, well, how'd you get AIDS? She told me her dilemma. Turned 50, lost the sight of womanhood, started sleeping with men, and the thing bit her. I said, who knows you have AIDS? No one. Your best friend doesn't even know? Never told her. I'm ashamed. I said, I'm not praying for you. She said, what? It's the easy way out. Are you kidding me? I ain't praying for you. I said, because AIDS isn't killing you. Shame is. Go find your best friend and tell her what you did and how you got what you got. It's James 5. Tell her to lay hands on you and pray for you that you might be healed. You ain't sneaking in here confessing this in the quiet. You go out there and tell your friend. And you don't ever let shame eat you again. And you watch that disease bow and come out of your blood. good, Pastor. She waited 3 months to come back. You know why? When you get a negative after a positive, they test you 3 months in a row to confirm the negative. The next day she walked in my office, it was 3 months later, a little later, she walked in, 153 pounds. Her average weight was 150, a 6 foot black woman who's beautiful in the Lord was 106. That's a rail when you're 150 and look good. She came in 153. Cha-ching. Pastor, hey. Full in the face and full in the heart. What a God, huh? Listen, I'm way late.
Well, can you tell I'm tired from all these 3 sessions Patricia graded me with today? She really got me wore out, guys. I'm barely holding on. You're not tired, are you? You're not tired, right? You've been sitting. I've been on my feet all day. Can you tell how tired I am? I'm having so much fun. I told you that Energizer Bunny ain't no match for what's in me. Yeah, right. Do you know how many batteries I went through so far?
Listen, please, don't stay in your chair. Don't be falsely humble and don't be embarrassed and don't say, I don't want people to think something's wrong with me or what's in me or what I did. Everybody in this room have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's people in this room that did things and should be marked and never got marked. There's a lady that had one husband and one man for 30 years in her whole life, made one mistake and the thing tried to grab her for life. She had neurological herpes in her nervous system and they said it was going to shorten her life and wreck her organs. One mistake in a moment of overwhelmed emotions and a merciless devil pounced her for the kill to judge her and condemn her. And the horror of what she did was hitting her. Why the man. And she didn't know what to do. And she said she left it happen, grabbed her clothes and ran home crying. Don't tell me she's loose and easy and all the crazy stuff we say. She was a hurting woman, overwhelmed with emotions and tried to answer her emotions in a way that wasn't God. And a merciless arena out there called sin and death grabbed her. One mistake sexually in her life. And now she's got incurable herpes. And she's going to pay a price in the long run. And Jesus said, uh-uh. Bam. Yeah. So if you hurt yourself through compromise, through indecision, through young years. You got something in your blood, something wrong, something affecting you. This is not just a regular healing call. This is redemption. It's not just coming up because you want me to lay hands on you. You be sincere and honest before God. If you come up here, it's because you're carrying something from yesterday's mistakes that if you could change it, you would, but you can't. And you believe God forgives you and makes all things new. Get up here now, please. There's a whole handful of folks. Don't you sit in your chair. It's okay. You probably cry. Some of you need to just be loved by God and receive His mercy. When you come up here, ladies, bless you. I'm so proud of all of you. Just come up here where I can get to you. Just turn your heart to Him and thank Him right now that He forgives you and loves you. And you thank Him that you're not the person that you're remembering right now that's trying to tell you you are. And that if you could do something different about what you did, you would, but you can't. But you can believe Him. Thank you, beautiful. It's okay. You just let Him love you. You'll cry. It's okay. Let your cry be His love. Don't you be condemned. I won't want none, one ounce of condemnation up here. I want you thanking Him right now that He loves you and there's new life in Christ. You begin to thank Him that He's doing a work in your heart and He's changed you from the inside. And if you could do anything about your past, you would, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Let me ask you this question. If you could go back and change the reason you came up here, would you do different now that you see what you see today? Well, then guess what? I'm not looking at the person you're remembering. And mercy triumphs over judgment. Got a whole bunch of ladies up here. I feel like I'm still waiting on three men. I know when I hear numbers, please don't mess with me. I need three men up here. I need two more men. Don't you sit in your chair. Why would you sit in your chair? I'm waiting for you. I need two men. You fit the description, and for some reason you're sitting in your chair. I heard it. I just heard it in my heart. I wasn't even really paying attention. And I saw him, and the Lord said, there's three more men. I want them up here. Please come up here. You say, Pastor, let it go. You're wrong. You just missed it. I know better. I know when I hear numbers. Ladies, do this right now. Gentlemen, do this. Can I have my two guys, please? Please don't fight me on this. Just get up here. I know there's two men here that fit this description in some way. I wouldn't know why you wouldn't come forward. Stop thinking what somebody will think. Come on. Okay. You come up here. I'll be happy, okay? Are you responding, sir? Thank you. It was hard for some reason, but thank you for not letting it hold you back. Good. That's good, man. No, that's good, Blaine. No, it's not a wrong confession. It's not a condemnation. When you stood up, you know what you're really saying? This thing is not who I am. I'm not living in secret, and there's nothing dark about me. I'm a child of the living God. He loves me. He's for me. He forgives me, and He makes all things new. So you loose him and you let him go and you never, ever, ever, ever touch him again. In the authority of Jesus' name, you be clean, free, and washed and made new. In the authority of Jesus' name. Don't you ever look back. You look up. And you rejoice in new life in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I need one more man. I know when I hear God. He was sitting there and it was hard for him and it's hard for you for some reason. Don't let it be so hard that you don't stand up. Why would you sit there when God wants to change it? Are you coming, sir? Bless you. It's Joel. I remember. I pay attention. I'm proud of you. Thank you. Give me a high five, dude. Because guess what? Sometimes the position you're in, you're a man of influence. You're a leader. You already know that. You're walking in that. And sometimes it feels like it's not right to do what you're doing. But if that thing's there, it's not right that it's there. It's no reflection on who you are. It's a sign that it needs to go because it's not who you are. So thank you for your humility. And I don't know how you were thinking and what you were thinking, but I wasn't going to let you go. You could tell. Father, I thank you. Isn't it cool the two people that waited the longest I'm praying for first? Why? Because it's not a bad reason that they didn't come. And they're not being judged for that.
The last shall be first.
I bless Joel. Father, I bless the gifting in his life, the wisdom, the understanding, and the example he's been to many. But God, tonight I bless his body. And I thank you, you wash through him. You wash through his blood, through his soul, through his emotions, through his memory. And I thank you, you caused this man to stand before you. Spirit, soul, and body, blameless till you come. And I thank you, he's only marked by your mercy. And he's unmarked by yesterday. God, you take everything away because you're his Father. You're his source of life. And he came forth from you. And I thank you, he stands before you as if he's never sinned. No regrets, no memory, and no mark because of your great love. Let the name of Jesus come in your power and make a man new. That's right. Never touch him again. In Jesus' name. The rest of you right now, I want you to do something. Say, Father, thank you, you love me. Totally forgive me. And make all things new. I'm not the person I used to be. I have no desire to repeat that thing. I want you. I want change. I want brand new. Thanks for loving me. Not forsaking me. Thanks for being my Father. Thanks for being my King. Come on, let those tears be good tears. Holy Spirit, come, wash over your girls and wash over your sons. I probably don't need to. I'm just going to real quick. I bless you. No, that's good. That's His Holy Spirit all over you before I even got over here. Your heart is so sincere before Him. He washes you and makes you free. You're not bound. You're not a woman of yesterday. You got a brand new day, girl. You got a brand new day. You're a brand new woman. You're a brand new.